This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Evan Ellis, professor, Latin American research professor at the U.S. Army War College, Strategic Studies Institute, Ecuador. A new president, his name is Lasso, Guillermo Lasso. In comments and interviews, Senor Lasso's opportunity now is to rescue an economy that is troubled. All economies are troubled. We're in a pandemic. For heaven's sakes, we're recovering. But in any event, from his remarks, President Lasso intends to use market conditions, market solutions to a country that is, let's say, rich with volcanoes and other resources. At the same time, is in the Andean chain of governments moving in another direction towards authoritarianism, towards autocracy, towards non-transparency. Evan, is Ecuador a surprise in the region? President Lasso, is he a surprise? Because recently he's been in the news making positive statements, but also revelations about his source of wealth.
John, the victory of Guillermo Lasso in Ecuador's recent presidential elections in many ways was a relief, given the direction, as you point out, that many other parts of the countries in the region are going. But I think in many ways also it's a testimony to the character and the education of the Ecuadorian people. They did live a long period of expanded leftist populist government under Rafael Correa. And in many ways, what happens with Lasso now continues a tendency of hope with respect to Ecuador, even though embattled. And so previously, of course, Lenin Moreno, who had been Correa's vice president, ended up deciding to take the country in a very different way, trying to escape from dependence on China, trying to unwind the web of leftist populist corruption that Correa's cronies had precipitated. But in the process, Moreno found himself in a very complicated position in that the Ecuador has been heavily indebted. It was trying to negotiate a package with the IMF. There were serious protests in October 2019. Then, especially in Guayaquil, Ecuador was hit very, very hard by COVID-19. And in the context of all of that, in Ecuador's most recent elections, it looked like the candidate for Rafael Correa was going to win and Ecuador was going to go back to the battle of populist days. The Ecuadorians at the end defied the predictions in the polls. And so absolutely right that you have essentially a Guayaquil-based, free market-oriented banker who wants to continue taking Ecuador in that relatively pro-market direction. However, he certainly is open to a number of different relationships. So, for example, a little bit of controversy because Ecuador is seeking to negotiate a new free trade agreement with the People's Republic of China. And so even as a free marketeer, the China ties don't go away. But some of the other initiatives with respect to trying to open up the mining sector, solicit new investments in energy production and in distribution, open up the oil sector, decreasing some of the restrictions which have complicated Ecuador's labor market. It certainly is taking Ecuador in a very important new direction. And the critical question is whether he will have the economic and political capital to succeed. And in my personal opinion, we in the U.S. have every incentive to support that, the direction he's taking the country.
Two different items. One, Senor Lasso is mentioned in the Pandora Papers, which is a recent revelation of how the well-to-do make certain their fortunes remain intact. I'm being diplomatic. And at the same time, we have a diplomatic blessing of the new president. This from these last hours, Reuters, Ecuadorian President Guillermo Lasso assured U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken within days, hours, that democratic principles would be upheld during a state of emergency that Lasso declared to combat narcotics. Blinken's visit in Ecuador, our Secretary of State, met with President Lasso and the foreign minister, Minister Mauricio Montalvo. They're looking for a stronger relationship, as I understand it, between the U.S. and Ecuador. Is it early? Is it too early for that? Is that fresh, Evan? I don't have experience with what the previous administrations did with Ecuador.
It's interesting, John, that first of all, I was very happy to see that Secretary Blinken is visiting Ecuador as part of his larger trip, which also, of course, took him to Colombia. And indeed, when I was on the policy planning staff at the State Department, again, some of the attention that we gave, tiny Ecuador during that transition to Lenin Moreno, I thought was equally important. So I think that's definitely a step in the right direction. The other thing that the story points out is that Ecuador has traditionally been an island of relatively good governance and low violence, sandwiched between two of Latin America, South America's largest drug-producing countries, Peru to the south and Colombia to the north. And indeed, some of Ecuador's security challenges have come from the crossover of FARC and other guerrillas from Colombia into Ecuador, as well as some of the cross border from Peru into Ecuador as well. And so what's beginning to happen, what you see reflected in the prisons, what you see reflected in some of the narco trafficking violence in Guayas province in Ecuador, is these spillover effects are beginning to get a little bit out of control. And indeed, in this particular case, you have some of Mexico's most virulent organized crime groups, the Sinaloa Cartel and Jalisco Nueva Generacion, beginning to have a representational presence in there. So Ecuador understands that, this is a significant problem. Many states in Latin America, consistent with their constitution, have brought the armed forces into supplement the police. And so I don't see what Ecuador is doing as particularly out of line. And I think that as long as it's done within the context of rule of law and respect for the rights of the Ecuadorians. And what I think you see in the assurance of Blinken, given that we have often concerns about the use of the military, is Lasso wanting to say, we are doing this, but we are doing this consistent with our own constitution and consistent with the rule of law. And what I've seen so far is that Ecuador is maintaining consistent with that.
The puzzle then, Evan, to my understanding, again, I have slight experience, but I'm putting together headlines over these last months. Peru held a presidential election, and at that point, the case was presented to me. Peru could go to market, or it could go to popularism, which is authoritarianism, non-transparency. The result was a newcomer, Pedro Castillo, and a cabinet that at first seemed extremely leaning towards the Havana-Caracas model. Lasso looks the opposite. Did Ecuador get lucky here, or are we looking at Ecuador being the next target?
Well, the answer is both, John. So first of all, Ecuador actually had experience going down that very destructive leftist route under Rafael Correa. And I think the Ecuadorians' refusal to vote back in Andreas Arauz, who was basically Correa's protege, reflects the bad taste in their mouth from those days. But certainly under Lenin Moreno in 2019, the protests that almost brought down the Ecuadorian government over a relatively small change in gasoline subsidies was really a testament that that threat is never far away. But with respect to Peru, two big differences. I think one, although there is a frustration with corruption in Ecuador, the level of frustration in Peru had gotten much higher, and I think there was the sense in Peru also a certain fatigue with the domination of the Lima elite, the Limeños, and the way that was tied with Keiki Fujimori. And so in many ways, in Peru, the vote for Pedro Castillo was a vote by the forgotten, mountain regions and jungle regions, the so to speak Sierra and Selva, that they wanted finally a voice. Again, the straw hat wearing, pencil wielding Pedro Castillo with very little control or very little experience, in many ways, again, that was something that is there in Ecuador, but was not there to the degree. It may be that the bad experience that could incur in Peru will, lock in, conservative regimes hereafter in Peru for another generation. But for right now, small differences, lead to oftentimes, big changes in course.
Speaking with Professor Evan Ellis, Latin American research professor at the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute, discussing Latin America in general now, because the economies, remember, it's coming summertime in Latin America, The economies are recovering, but there are opportunities and challenges ahead in this recovery having to do with over-reliance on one particular source of cash and investment, as opposed to the diversity that is practiced, for example, in the North Temperate Zone. When we come back, China and Latin America. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.